going to preach today from Judges chapter 4. I'm going to preach on a wonderful woman of faith in the scriptures called Deborah. It's important to notice when we come to the Old Testament, these are types, the Bible tells us. These are types of what we, and patterns which we find in the New Testament fulfilled in Christ. And when I say types, it's like all this warfare you find in the Old Testament. We don't fight people and battles like that. We're fighting spiritual battles and powers. So it's a type of the warfare that we fight today in the spirit. And we can learn a lot. But this is a wonderful passage, and I want to relate it today to what God is calling the church into. I want to speak to the life of the church today. What he's calling the church into corporately with this program down in Gosford that we're doing. Father, I thank you for your word. Your word is life when your spirit interacts with us, Lord. So, Lord, we ask just the anointing be upon your servant today in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, verse 1 of chapter 4 of the book of Judges says this. When Ehud was dead, children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera, who dwelt in Harosheth-Hagoyim. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, for Jabin had 900 chariots of iron, and for 20 years he had harshly oppressed the children of Israel. Now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Labidoth, was judging Israel at that time. And she would sit under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel and the mountains of Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. Then she sent and called for Barak, the son of Abinoam from Kedesh in Naphtali, and said to him, has not the Lord God of Israel commanded, go up and deploy troops at Mount Tabor? Take with you 10,000 men of the sons of Naphtali and of the sons of Zebulun. And against you, I will deploy Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and multitude at the river Kishon, and I will deliver him into your hand. And Barak said to her, if you will go with me, then I'll go. But if you'll not go with me, I will not go. So she said, I'll surely go with you. Nevertheless, there'll be no glory for you in the journey you are taking, for the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. Then Jezreel arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh. He went up with 10,000 men under his command, and Deborah went up with him. And Heber the Kenite, the children of Hoab, the father-in-law Moses, had separated himself from the Kenites and pitched his tent near the Tebereth tree of Zanim, which is beside Kadesh. They reported to Sisera that Barak the son of Abinoam had gone up to Mount Tabor. So Sisera gathered together all his chariots, 900 chariots of iron, and all the people who were with him, from Harosheth-Hagoyim to the river Kishon. Then Deborah said to Barak, up, for this is the day in which the Lord has delivered Sisera into your hand. Has not the Lord gone out before you? So Barak went down from Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. And the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and all his army with the edge of the sword before Barak. And Sisera alighted from his chariot and fled away on foot. But Barak pursued the chariots and the army as far as Harosheth-Hagoyim, and all the army of Sisera fell by the sword, with the edge of the sword. Not a man was left. However, Sisera had fled away on foot to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, for there was peace between Jabin, king of Hazor, and the house of Heber the Kenite. Jael went out to meet Sisera and said to him, turn aside, my lord. Turn aside to me. Do not fear. And when he had turned aside with her into the tent, she covered him with a blanket. Then he said to her, please give me a little water to drink, for I am thirsty. So she opened a jug of milk, giving him a drink, and covered him. And he said to her, stand at the door of the tent. If any man comes and inquires of you and says, there is any man here, you shall say no. Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a tent peg, took a hammer in a hand, went softly to him and drove the peg into his temple. And it went down into the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary. So he died. And then as Barak pursued Sisera, Jael come out to meet him and said to him, come, I'll show you the man who you seek. And when he went into the tent, there lay Sisera dead with a tent peg in his temple. So on that day, God subdued Jabin, king of Canaan, in the presence of the children of Israel. And the hand of the children of Israel grew stronger against Jabin, king of Canaan, until they had destroyed Jabin, king of Canaan. This is a wonderful passage, and I believe, Deborah, some people say to me, do you think women should minister? I said, I think the book of Judges teaches me that God prefers an anointed woman, even if Barak was preferred. It's the anointing that counts, not the sex. It's the anointing. It's whether you can minister in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the issue, not gender. So this is a wonderful book. And why Deborah is so wonderful is because at the end of it, and I'll relate to it a little bit as I go through the passage, chapter 5 is called the Song of Deborah. And it's a song she sings after this extraordinary victory God gives her. And I believe this is why Deborah is greater than Gideon, because at the end of Gideon's passage, at the end of Gideon's victory, Gideon, after all his great work in leading an army against just an army of just a few, 300 against an army of 120,000, seeing an extraordinary supernatural victory of God, at the end, Gideon asks all the people for gold and he makes an idol or an ephod. And the people fall back into idolatry. The reason he does that is because he failed to establish worship. But at the end of the victory, Deborah established worship in the heart of Israel for all that God had done. That's why it's so important, whatever God does for you, that you establish a heart of worship, because it keeps the victory in your life. It keeps you free of idols. So Deborah has this song that Gideon never had. And it's a wonderful passage, because this is a time where I believe it really is relevant to what we're going through in this nation. This is a time where Israel had been oppressed by an enemy for 20 years, and this nation is increasingly coming under a spiritual oppression. Increasingly, Christians have been told, you can't preach this, you can't preach that, you can't preach. Other religions are coming into this nation, they're bringing a spiritual oppression. I was absolutely horrified when I saw the leader of New Zealand wanted to sing Islamic chants over her nation, because that will bring an oppression in the spirit to that nation. But we are a nation who is increasingly ourselves. You know, you can't say this and you can't say that. The enemy's trying to close us down and oppress us. And much of the church today is in that place where we're facing that kind of oppression. And the enemy is trying to oppress and keep us oppressed. And so this day and this passage where God gives a great victory against the oppressor is relative to us. God wants to bring the book alive, this book alive for us, so we actually can say, I've lived it. It's all for us today. It's all for us. You've actually got to say, I don't just read about this victory, but I've actually walked into a similar victory because I've applied the similar principles. And I believe God wants to bring a victory to this city. I believe God wants to bring his victory into this city. And at this time where Deborah lived, it's important to know that her situation seemed impossible. They were oppressed. They were under a very powerful enemy who had, it says, 900 chariots. It kept saying in Deborah's song that they had 900 chariots. And in verse 8 of Deborah's song, it says, there was no spear or shield seen among 40,000 people in Israel. In other words, there was no metal. These people had taken all the metal, and they had 900 chariots to deploy. It says in verse 7, he came and deployed his 900 chariots. So here's Israel. They're hopelessly outnumbered, hopelessly weaponed, outgunned, and their firepower couldn't compete at all with the other nation, and God decides that he actually wants to bring a victory against the oppressor. And they have in the end this extraordinary victory where the enemy is destroyed, and a woman called Jael, it's a great picture of spiritual warfare, this woman who knew her authority drove a peg into the temple of the enemy. And what happened in this battle was that Deborah, who was a prophet, realized it was a time for God's people to mobilize. And she's a prophetic lady. And you see, she says, she's judging Israel, and she has a word from God, and she says to them, arise. Has not the Lord said, go and deploy? I will deploy Sisera. I will deliver him into your hand. So she said, arise and go. And then in verse 14, she said to Barak, up, for this is the day which the Lord has delivered Sisera into your hand. So it's arise, it's get up, it's move, because God's about to move. And what Barak says, and what Deborah says, she says to him, I want you to deploy. And it says that when Barak went to deploy against the battle, it said he went up with 10,000 men in verse 10 under his command. Deborah went up with him. And they went up the mountains to Mount Tabor, it says. They reported to Sisera that Barak, verse 12, the son of Sisera, had gone up to Mount Tabor. And what happened was when they went in this battle, in the natural, they could not win it. It was impossible to win it because they only had wood and they were fighting against metal and they had no chariots. And in those days, you couldn't win against people with chariots. But what happened when they obeyed God and God said, go? This is how God works in our life. We just got to trust him. And so they went and deployed up Mount Tabor. And as they're at Mount Tabor and they're about to go into a battle, what happened? It says, the Lord routed them in verse 15. And how did he do it? When you march from the field at Edom, the earth trembled and the heavens poured, the clouds also poured with water. So what happened was that as they obeyed God, they got into a position that God told them to be in. And it was an impossible position. They couldn't really win it the natural. But as they got on Mount Tabor and the battle began and they came down the mountain, Sisera and his troops were deployed in the battle, in the valley. They were in the valley and their chariots were in the valley on the flat plain. And as it rained, the place became a bog because God opened the heavens like never before. It rained, it poured, and they were so stuck in their chariots that even with their wooden weapons, Barak's army could just go in and go whack. And they got this extraordinary victory. And they all fled. And their leader was killed by this woman. She was directed into the tent of Jael. And he drove her. And God brought about this extraordinary victory. And the oppression was dealt with. God's people were brought back into the place where they were supposed to be. The place where they were was totally liberated from all oppression. And I believe God is saying to us at this time, you know, we have these promises in the scripture, like God said to Joshua, I give you the land. I believe God is actually saying to us, I want to give you this city. I want to give you this city to see my spirit move. And when God moves, it says that the clouds also poured water. God will pour spiritual water on this land. He'll pour spiritual water out over Gosford. He'll pour an outpouring of his spirit over Gosford. It will deal with principalities and powers and things that are keeping people from being saved, people that are afflicting people, demons. And the enemy is not Sisera's spiritual powers of wickedness that the Bible speaks about. But God wants to deal with that. God wants to open his heavens and pour out his spirit in this city and see people get saved, people can see get free, people see families transformed, see marriages healed because God's spirit is being poured out in this place. And what will happen? What do we have to do for that to happen? What do we have to do to rather be much of the church today is afraid to go out because we're intimidated by this new spirit that's over this land. You can't say this and you can't say that. But I want to tell you what brings God's glory and God's spirit over a city and what brings God's glory over a region, because I've seen it in other nations. And the first thing is this. God said to someone prophetic, God said to someone who had the ear open, he said, arise and go. Awake, awake, Deborah. Arise, Barak, verse 12 of chapter 5, and lead your captives away. Arise and go. He says this again in verse 12 of chapter 4. Up, for this is the day which the Lord has delivered Sisera. He said to Deborah, verse 6 of chapter 4, go and deploy. And so God is saying to the church today that he doesn't want to sit here all the time and do church. He actually wants us. Do you know the last words that Jesus commanded the church in Mark 16 was this? He says this, he said in Mark 16, he said, go into all the world. The last words of Jesus, and they're important. It's the last things you say before you're going on a long trip to your children, and they're the most important as well. The last things Jesus said before he ascended to heaven was this to the church. He said, don't stay and do church all the time, but go into all the world and preach the gospel and to all creation. He who believes and be baptized will be saved. But this, he said, these signs will follow those who believe. Now, signs are miracles. What happened when Deborah arose and Barak arose and they went? It's what it says. It says, it didn't say they routed him. It says, verse 15, God routed Sisera. It says, verse 15 of chapter 4, God routed Sisera. And it says in chapter 5, verse 4, the Lord went out from Seir. When he marched through the field of Edom, the earth trembled. The mountains gushed before the Lord. All the way through it says that the Lord did this. Verse 13 again, the Lord came down for me against the mighty. So God, when I have this thing, when we go, God will show. When we go into the city and we say, actually, we would actually go out there because we actually don't know what we're doing. We actually, we're just a group in a tent. We don't have much power. We don't have much money. We don't have, it's like Barak and Deborah. We actually don't have a lot going for us except God. Except the word of God, we have heard from God, and God said, go into all the world. And when we go, I want to tell you, in that tent, God will show himself. God will pour out his spirit, and he will show himself mighty. He will show himself powerful. He will do what we cannot do for ourselves. He'll deal with spiritual forces of wickedness and powers of being oppressing, blinding, afflicting people. There will be the power of God in that tent simply because God's people will go. When we go, God will show. That's why Isaiah 60 is a book, it's a prophetic end time book, but it's speaking to us today. You know, God's presence and his outpouring of his spirit is called his glory. And it says, arise and shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Arise means you change your position. You stop sitting. We stop sitting. The church itself stops sitting. You know, when you go, God himself creates on mission. He creates heroes of faith. I just love this woman, Jael, who takes a spear. Jael took a spear, took a hammer in her head, drove it through the enemy's head. Our weapons we have are not carnal, Bible says, but they are spiritual, mighty for tearing down strongholds. We have people here who will intercede and who will praise God and who will pray and declare the word of God. And the word you have becomes in the spirit, it becomes a sword that pierces and deals with enemy powers, principalities and powers of darkness, that you could be like Jael, you could be used by God to be powerful in spiritual warfare and drive a stake through the work of the enemy in this crusade. Yes, you'll see it when you get to heaven. So for God to come and just bring about a great victory, a great deliverance for a nation, for a region, it requires action. Deborah, in a song, she wrote this. She said in verse 1 of chapter 5, when leaders lead in Israel, and when the people willingly offer themselves. That's how she started the song. This all happened because Deborah led. Deborah said, let's not sit, let's go. Let's go to where the Lord is leading us. And the people said, we willingly offer ourselves. So I want to say to your church, I want you, you don't have to be like me or like Luke. What blank. You don't have to be, you just have to be yourself. But all you have to do is be available. I believe you'll see God do great things. You know, when you get to heaven, this is the stuff that counts. It's not being successful that counts with God. It's actually being significant in his kingdom. And these missions are opportunities to see God move and to be used by God and to play your part. And that only happens when you said, I may not have anything, but I'm available. And I'm offering myself to the service of God. So I encourage everybody to offer themselves to the service of God. And in the end of this this passage, there is a battle. And God moves. God deals with the enemy. God brings about a victory for his people. God did it all. And there are things that you can't do for yourself. People out there can't do for themselves, but God can do it. God wants to do miracles. God wants these passages are not written just as stories. They're actually to tell us God wants to come down himself. And you say, I didn't know what to do it, but the Lord, it says, fought the enemy. It says, the Lord routed Sisera. Whatever your problem is, whatever's oppressing you, whatever problem in your home is, there are times where God himself just comes in. God himself, through his power, just comes in and sorts it for you. And I'm believing in this tent there are going to be many people who come with issues, with problems that are unsolvable. The enemy's causing all sorts of havoc in their home, but God himself will come into that tent. God himself, it says here, came down and fought against the mighty. You know, in this passage, there is there's something sobering in this passage. In the song, I call it the honor roll, but there's also a roll of shame. I just read what it says. It says, Deborah said, up. Barak said, I'm not sure. And he says, well, I'll go, but you help me, but you have no glory. That was Barak. And then he called all the people. He said, we're going off to this battle. Yet only a few of the Israelites got to participate. A few of the tribes got to participate in seeing God of heaven do something special. God of heaven coming down, opening the heavens, destroying the enemy, finishing 20 years of oppression and problems for Israel. God himself finished those problems. But not everybody joined. This is what it said. If you go to chapter 5, there's an honor roll from verse 15. The princes of Issachar, who understood the times, were with Deborah. As Issachar, so was Barak, sent into the valley under his command. Among the divisions of Reuben, there were great resolve of heart. Why did you sit among the sheepfolds to hear the piping of the flocks? The divisions of Reuben have great searching of heart. Gilead stayed beyond the Jordan. And why did Dan remain on the ships? Asher continued at the seashore and stayed by his inlets. Zebulun is a people who jeopardize their lives to the point of death. Naphtali also on the heights of the battlefield. So when the prophetic word was saying, go, some preferred to stay and look after the flocks. I say that's like I prefer to do church. Just look after us. Great that God looks after us, but some did that. It says also, why did Dan remain on the ships? You know what the ships were for? The ships were for trading. And some people said, this is an opportunity to join God on a God mission, on a God battle, but our priority is making money. That's why Jesus says you can't serve two kings, two masters. They missed the opportunity to be part of what God was doing because money was their priority. Asher stood by the seesaw, stayed by his inlets because they were comfortable. a wealthy tribe. But some heard the prophetic voice and even jeopardized their lives to the point of death. Naphtali also on the heights of the battlefield. Goes on to say, Jael, who drove the stake into Sisera, most blessed among women is Jael. Blessed is she among the women in the tents. She stretched out her hand to the tent peg. Stretched out her hand, the right hand of the workman's hammer, she pounded it, pierced his head. She split and struck through the temple. At her feet he sank. He fell, he lay still. At her feet he sank, he fell. Where he sank, there he fell dead. It's a great picture. Someone who knows their authority in the spirit. A woman who knows their authority. So I'm preaching today. I'm not really preaching a personal sermon of how to edify you individually. But I'm actually saying to you as a pastor, I believe God is, he actually wants to give us territory. He actually wants to take ground for him. He wants us to see more and more people come out of despair, of depression, and come into God's great plan for them through the blood of Jesus. That God wants us to see the city, which is so oppressed. You walk into Gosford, but it is so oppressed. It's so oppressed when you walk in there. What is the solution to that impression? I want to tell you, the solution is you. The solution is I. The solution is a church that actually believes that God is still the same. And if the church will do what we're told to do, go into all the world, God will show. If we go, God will show. God will show himself mighty. And a lot of those powers, you know, it's an offense to God to have a small vision. He says, ask me and I'll give you the nations. Ask me and I'll give you the cities. Ask me. This is a time I believe God is actually saying to our church. He said it last year. And last year God said to be the start of many, many Easters. This is a time where he wants the church to deploy, to go. And he wants the leaders of this church to lead. And he wants people to willingly offer themselves. And it says at the end, when leaders lead in Israel, when the people willingly offer themselves, bless the Lord. Hear, O kings, give ear, O princes. I, even I, will sing to the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. Lord, when you went out from Seir, when you marched from the field of Edom, the earth trembled. You know, last year we just went out. We had this situation where we advertised in Errand Affair, those brochures. And if you're new to the church, there was a problem with the advertising. That the center didn't like it. They asked us to change the words. Cut a long story short, the media heard about that. And they came and did a little interview with me. It was just a local thing. And I told them about how strange it is that they want to change the advertising of Easter to remove the name of Jesus. But anyway, after that, this guy, what was his name? From Sydney. Ben Fordham phoned me. He's got a TV show and a radio program. He interviewed me. And he wanted to talk about it. And this guy from Alex Jones from America interviewed me. He's got the biggest internet program in all the world. And all it was an extraordinary open door to preach the gospel. And I didn't even talk about the issue. But every time I got to them, I just spoke about what Easter was about and why Jesus wants to save people who are lost and hopeless. But what it was simply the fact that behind the heart of the church, it was amazing. It went to Nigeria, it went to Zimbabwe, all these places. I still discover that that brochure was in the newspapers of all these other nations. But if you got spiritual eyes to hear it, you can say, how did God, you know, for a church this size, create an opportunity where the gospel that we preach went on national TV, it went on local TV, it went international TV, it went into international newspapers, and I was proclaiming Christ. How did that happen? Simply because we determined to go. And then God showed himself. They were signs and wonders. God is going to do it again. Do you know, people talk a lot about signs and wonders. There's a lot of nonsense about signs and wonders. Because there's true and there's false. But God wants signs and wonders in the church. He wants us to say, oh, that happened, and it was God, and there's no one else could have helped, but God did it. But do you know the only place in the New Testament where signs and wonders are promised? Mark 16. When you go into all the world, not when you do church, these signs shall follow. It's the only time God says, if you go, I so love a church that is bold and that wants to get to people, wants to get into the valleys where the lost and the broken was, wants to get to the problems, not just your church, wants to get to the harvest fields. When you go, God so loves it, he says, I'll back you up to show everybody that I'm with you by doing things that just blow their mind. Isn't it wonderful? What a wonderful opportunity. So in concluding today, I'm saying, this is a lovely brochure, Easter Fun Fest. But it's much more than an Easter Fun Fest. I sort of look at that and I think, well, I know what it is. But it's much more than fun we're going to have. This is what we're going to see. It's what I want you to agree for me, that we will see the greatness of God's power. Heal marriages, heal sickness, deliver people, solve incredible challenges, move mountains, open doors for people in that tent, save people who are, they don't even know why they're alive. Why? Because we will go. We will go, church. I want you to stand, but before you do today, I actually want you to, just not for me, but I want you to do something for God today, just to God. It's, you don't have to do this. But the Bible says when we're going to go and do this program, leaders need to lead, and people need to willingly offer themselves. If you offer yourselves, not to me, it's for the church, but you want to offer yourselves to God, to simply be used, to say, God, maybe I don't feel special, but I'm part of this group. Just like the soldiers under Barak and Deborah didn't really understand fully as Deborah got the word. But I actually want to make myself available. I want to offer myself to you to serve you in this outreach, believing that you're the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. As we offer ourselves, you will come into that tent. You will pour out your Holy Spirit. You will heal the sick. You will deliver the oppressed. You will deal with mountains that we can't deal with. Your power will come in because we simply have obeyed and made ourselves available. I want to say, church, do not be like. I've only got a few regrets in life. Missed opportunities. Don't be like those people on the ships of Dan who said, I've got other priorities. Nothing more important, nothing more satisfying, no greater joy than serving the King of Kings, Jesus.